Thanks, Allie. That was awesome. Not just that you do have an awesome voice, but when you combine that with those lyrics that are eternally true, then it's even better, even better. So thank you. As Peter pointed out in the reading at the beginning of the service, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was planned a long time ago, even before those prophecies. His coming was prophesied. His coming was planned in eternity past. And in the reading that Joan just did from Luke chapter 1, the promised Messiah was going to rescue his people, save them from their sins. And God sent someone to get things ready for that coming Messiah, to prepare the way for him. You know, it reminds me, this preparation for the Messiah reminds me of what our friend Cholo did when he immigrated to Canada by himself a number of years ago. He got things ready here for when his wife and son Alfred could come over and be with him. It's that kind of a thing. John the Baptist, God sent John the Baptist to get things ready, to prepare the way for the Messiah. And this morning, 26 days before Christmas, we're going to look at the circumstances leading up to John's birth. So let's pray together as we dig into this. Father, we want to look at this passage, one that we've heard often, but Lord, would you wake us up to what you would have us hear this morning, your truth. Would you combine what we're going through and what we understand and draw us further into you, into trusting you, loving you, and worshiping you. Father, please do that. Glorify yourself in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting back in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, Zechariah and Elizabeth were this godly, righteous couple. They were obedient worshipers of God. And they both had this strong link to Israel's religious history. Zechariah was a priest in the order of Abijah, and Elizabeth was from the priestly line of Aaron. They were this great couple, but they were never able to have children. They wanted children, but were not blessed that way. And then one day, God flipped their whole world upside down on them. The priestly order that Zechariah was involved in was divided into 24 divisions, and each division served in the temple twice a year. And it was during one of those rotations when Zechariah was serving that God, in his perfect timing, started really moving things forward for the coming of the promised Messiah. Zechariah was chosen to serve in the inner sanctuary and burn incense there. And while he was doing that, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he was totally overwhelmed with fear. And who wouldn't be, right? And the angel addresses him by name and tells him not to be scared. Now, I've tried imagining this scene happening to me. I'm here at church by myself, doing what I always do, and suddenly this angel appears before me and says, "Hey, Edgar, don't be afraid." That wouldn't work. I think I would completely lose it. And that's probably why God never has allowed that to happen to me. But this is what Zechariah experienced. And the angel said to him, "God has heard your prayer." Well, what prayer is he talking about? There's no indication from Scripture that at this point, Zechariah was praying for his wife to become pregnant. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth are well on in age, very well on in age, so chances are really good they were not praying for a pregnancy. So the prayer the angel must have been referring to was the many, many prayers this couple made years before this scene, back in childbearing years, like some 30 years before this scene took place, asking and asking that they would become pregnant, but it never happened. But the angel says, "God has heard your prayer." It is as though their prayers were before God, untouched by time. He heard them when they were prayed, but the timing wasn't right. Yet now the timing is right. The angel said, God has heard your prayer, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And you are to call him John, and he's going to be special. His birth will bring great joy because he signals the beginning of God's work of redemption. He is to be set apart. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will persuade Israel to turn to God. He will prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. The angel speaks in such clear, definitive ways, like this is a done deal already. Elizabeth pregnant, born, a child is born. John is his name. People getting ready. Here's the Messiah. It's a done deal. But Zechariah responds with doubt. He's stuck in the, how can I know this will happen? I'm an old man, and my wife is also well along in years. He's basically saying, my real life situation all points to you being wrong. I am old and my wife is old. We hardly ever have sex. I don't think our reproductive systems even work anymore. Besides, my wife can't carry a baby. This is impossible. How can I know this will happen? Give me proof. After years of praying, he's given up. He doesn't buy it anymore that God would bless them with a child. That time is done. That opportunity is gone. He's now old. His hopelessness is so deep that even the appearance of an angel addressing him by name, that's not proof enough for him. And it's like the angel responds in a shocked kind of way. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. He sent me. You know, normally the appearance of an angel from God is it in itself enough of a sign, enough of a proof that what is being said is going to happen. But not for poor Zechariah. He'll trust God for many, many things, but not this. Not this. And so Zechariah gets his sign, though. God is that good. He gets something to help him know Elizabeth will get pregnant. He gets God's discipline. Zechariah's speaking ability, and by the sounds of verse 62, his hearing ability are taken away. Zechariah immediately becomes deaf and mute. And when he finished his duty at the temple, he went home. And all scripture says is, soon after he got home, Elizabeth became pregnant. What God said would happen, happened. Now, I'm not trying to be sensational or anything like that, but don't write this pregnancy off too quickly. Mary's pregnancy with Jesus came about through the Holy Spirit. There was no sexual activity. But this old couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, with the limitations of their old bodies, conceived a baby the natural way. And Elizabeth gave birth the natural way, without an epidural, at 70 and 80 years old. God made this happen. He pushed aside the fertility clocks of Elizabeth and Zechariah. He is sovereign over all creation, and he makes this happen. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely. I would love it if a few of our elderly couples started having babies. I would love it. That would be awesome. God has no limits. No limits. Just as the angel told Mary in verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Well, what about no? Well, yeah, what about no? Nothing is impossible with God. Elizabeth goes full term, and gives birth to a healthy boy. And word spreads, and people from the neighborhood show up, all excited and celebrating with the family. And it's only with the baby's birth that things change for Zechariah. It's only until he does exactly what the angel said he was to do, which was name the baby John. Then his hearing and speech returned. God kept his discipline in place until Zechariah fully obeyed him, and then he could hear and speak again. It's wild. Zechariah's last words before becoming a mute were all about doubt. How can this happen? I'm old. My wife is old. But now, the first words he spoke when his speech returned was praising God and prophesying, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking of God and his coming Messiah, who would bring deliverance, forgiveness of sins, peace, and his own son, John, would be the prophet of the Most High, preparing the way for the Lord. Such incredible and encouraging events with Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John, leading up to the birth of the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. Incredible, as we've just seen through the appearance of an angel and through miracles, but also encouraging in a few ways. Let me just look at four encouraging things that come out of this. The first one, nothing is impossible with God. You know, Zechariah was a righteous man. He believed and trusted God for a lot of things, but not a baby. Everything pointed toward that being impossible. His reasoning, his logic, his feeling, his experiences all said, no, not going to happen. Let it go. Stop praying. Yet in God's timing, in God's will, it happened, which should encourage us to keep on praying, keep on trusting God, keep on searching His will and praying. Don't give up, no matter how ridiculous things look. God is not limited by a 70 or 80 year old womb. He's not limited. You know, recently I was confronted again with my lack of faith and how quick I am to give up. We have, like every family, we have family challenges in my family, and things going on with my brother and my nieces, and I had committed to God. Okay, I'm going to pray about that relationship. I'm going to pray, and I was praying, and I was proud of myself for praying. And I think I prayed for 4 months, and then for the last 4 months, I stopped praying. I was like, "There's that prayer request again. What's the use? Nothing's going to change there anyway." Nothing has changed. Nothing's going to change. I'm not praying anymore. I think I'm justified in not praying anymore. And guess what God did? 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden there's movement in those relationships between my brother and my nieces. There's some good stuff happening there. Isn't that awesome? There I am praying, and then I quit. And then God does something. And then now I look back and I go, what is wrong with me? Why did I quit praying? Why did I stop trusting in God? He can do the impossible, no matter how ridiculous things look. You know, if you think of our church here, some 8 years ago, things were not going well here. Things were not going well. And there was a core group of people that stuck it out. A lot left, including the pastor at that time. As a core group that stuck here and kept on praying and didn't stop praying. They believed God wants this church here. He's planted this church here. He wants it here. And they stuck it out, no matter how ridiculous it looked, no matter how much they dwindled. And then God started building and building and building and building. And look, here we are. Here we are. We just had a fantastic women's dinner this past week. Wow! Don't give up. Don't give up. Whatever's popping into your mind right now, oh yeah, this is different though, Edgar. No, don't. Don't give up. Trust in Him. We don't say, Edgar has faith. Edgar doesn't have faith. Edgar has faith in, it's all about faith in who we have faith in, right? Doesn't matter. He's got faith. He's got faith in God. Nothing is impossible with God. Hang on to that. Like a bulldog, hang on to that. Don't let go. Second one, God doesn't reject Zechariah with his doubts, but rather grows his faith. I love this. I just told you about my failure thing here, so I really love this. Zechariah's response to God's plan was doubt. He was a righteous guy, but straight up doubted God. But God didn't reject him. He immediately disciplined him with deafness and with muteness. He removed two huge relational components, and all he could do was direct his thoughts to the Lord, communicate with the Lord, not with people. But it's like this muteness and deafness was discipline, not punishment. It was to grow faith, not to crush him. God used it to flip him from unbelief, how can I know this pregnancy is going to happen, to rejoicing faith. God's promised Savior is coming. He will save his people, and my son will prepare the way for God's Messiah, pointing people to God's Savior, pointing people to the one who can forgive sins. When he faithfully and obediently named the baby John, God opened Zechariah's ears and his mouth, and instead of being quiet, he's prophesying. From a doubting, quiet person to a full of faith, prophesying worshiper of God. God's discipline resulted in crushing doubt and increasing his faith. Awesome. Now, I'm not suggesting any type of a formula is taking place here, or this is a series of events that you can count on. I just want to point out that God disciplines us. He disciplines those he loves. That's what Proverbs 3 says. This is happening through circumstances, through church discipline, or some other way to build our faith and trust in him, to shape us, not to disqualify us, but to change us so we trust him that nothing is impossible for him, to bring us into his will. That's God's discipline. Don't run away from his discipline. Embrace his discipline. It's changing you, and it's for your good, for my good. That is encouraging. It's encouraging to get disciplined? Yes. It's encouraging to be disciplined by God because he grows our faith instead of just writing us off and saying, well, forget that. He is that good. Something else that's encouraging is Elizabeth's amazement and thrill over God's work. Yeah, she's always wanted to be pregnant, but not in her 70s or in her 80s, right? Can you imagine how uncomfortable she must have been? You know, our bladders get weaker as we get older. This poor lady had a baby pushing on hers. But she's just flat out thrilled with what God is doing and that she's a part of it. She's like, how kind the Lord is. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. With all the discomfort she faced with the pregnancy, she is just thrilled about God's work and thrilled to be a part of it and quick to give God credit for what's happening. She's awesome. I love this woman. Have you ever stopped and noticed what God is doing and how we get to be a part of what he's doing? Again, the women's dinners this past week, this place was packed. Women that worship, I can't read. Women that are worshiping God were encouraged and built up. Women who don't worship God heard the gospel, and all of them were loved. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the lives of these beautiful women. That was awesome. I was there every night. I wasn't doing a great amount of work, but I was there every night because I wanted to be a part of what God was doing here in my church family. And I was thrilled to be a part of what he is doing. Are you? Are we? What about Little Town Christmas? how can it be that in this crazy culture of Canada, our church gets invited to have heavy participation in the town Christmas celebration? We get to serve a dinner, have people dressed up in Bible characters, have a choir. In subtle and not so subtle ways, we get to celebrate Christmas in town center. Celebrate Jesus in town center. How can this be in our culture today? I am thrilled our church family can be a part of this. I am thrilled to be able to be a part of something like that. I have got to be a part of this. Thank you, Lord. How kind the Lord is to us. I find Elizabeth so encouraging and so refreshing. Church, let's get our eyes on Jesus and see that we get to be a part of what He's doing, that He is already doing. We get to be a part of this in town. Let's plumb the depths of what that's all about and get excited, get on board. Don't critique all the holes that are in the plan. There's lots of holes in the plan. We do nothing perfectly, nothing. But get on board and see how God is setting the course for us to follow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So let's get thrilled and excited about what God is doing, because, and this is the last point, not just Christmas, but all of life is about Jesus. This is about Jesus. You want to know a purpose in your life? I don't seem to have a purpose in my life. I want to know what God's plan is for my life. I'll tell you His purpose for your life and His plan for your life. It's Jesus. It's for you to glorify Jesus, for you to enjoy Jesus. Whatever you're getting into, enjoy Jesus while you do it. Make a big deal out of Jesus while you're doing it. This story really isn't a story about baby John or Elizabeth or Zechariah. You know, when word spread around town and people came to celebrate the baby's birth, they didn't understand what we do today. This was about God glorifying Himself through the miraculous birth of this special baby who will carry out God's will in preparing the way for an even greater baby, Jesus the Messiah. This isn't about John. This is about Jesus the Messiah. The decades and decades of barrenness, the disgrace Elizabeth had in not being able to have a child, the years of praying by this couple for a baby, their faithfulness in continuing to worship God and serve Him, this healthy miracle baby, John's incredible role, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is so incredible that God made the lead up to His birth this incredible. So with Christmas upon us, with the promised Messiah having come and dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, we are reminded that it's all about Him. Christmas, life, this is all about our Lord. We exist to joyfully worship the Lord. And from Scripture, we get some thrilling news. Some thrilling news. Jesus is coming again. He has come, and He is coming again. And at that time, He will take all His children home. But until then, He has given us an amazing job preparing for His second coming by spreading the gospel message. You might have some weak faith, but He will grow your faith. So go. Get excited about the work of Christ, spreading His message, and knowing that He is for you. He is with you and He is for you. You know, at Christmas, we remember the incredible lead up to the birth of the Messiah. And now that we are found in Christ, church, let's joyfully be a part in the lead up to His second coming. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, so often we lose sight. We get distracted. We get consumed with other things. And our eyes get off of you. Father, we confess that, and we say sorry. Sorry for making life about ourselves. Sorry for not glorifying you. And now we thank you for your forgiveness, and we receive your forgiveness. Thank you. And Lord, we have doubts. We often doubt that you can do things. We often believe you for many things, but not this one thing. We hang on to that and say, no, I don't think so. Lord, all of us here, we have something that's popping to mind right now. Whether it's in our lives or our kids' lives or in the world, it seems too impossible. It seems too ridiculous to even say out loud. It seems too silly to even pre-praying about anymore. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes to the truth of who you are, that nothing is impossible with you, and that we would not stop coming and knocking on the door and saying, Father, would you please do this? Father, would you please do this? Lord, help us. Help us in our unbelief. Help us to believe more. And Lord, open our eyes. We are, again, get so distracted by so many things in this world that we don't get excited or thrilled or joyful about what you are doing and what we get to be a part of. We don't get excited about you. Lord, awaken us. Awaken us. Don't let us be coasting along, especially not now in this Christmas season. Awaken us, Lord, for your glory. Awaken us. Some of us have been quiet for so long. Some of us have just been going on with just coasting. And Lord, I really sense that you're calling out to them right now, going, stop coasting. Wake up. See what I'm doing. Let yourself get excited. Let yourself pray those outrageous, awesome, faith-filled prayers again. Pray those prayers. Pray them. Put your trust in the Lord. Father, bring us. Bring us to this point. For your glory, we ask this in the name of the promised Messiah who has come and who is coming again, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Why don't you just have a seat for a moment? just want to let you know about a few things. Just talking about Little Town Christmas, Mary, our outreach deacon, would like us to know some specific things about what's coming up for that, so that we're all on the same page and we know how we can participate. So you heard in the last few Sundays that we have been invited to participate in the Little Town Christmas this year, and a great partnership has formed between us and the Neighborhood House that's in town. They have invited us to join them in providing their annual Little Town Christmas turkey dinner. This year, they didn't know if they were going to be able to pull it off because they don't have enough money for the food. And as you've heard, we had the idea of providing a turkey dinner down in town, but we didn't know if we could pull it off because of location and the amount of work that was required. But when Mary called them to see if maybe something could work with their location, and they had this conversation, a partnership grew. So they are taking the lead and running this dinner, and it will be at their location, and we are backing them up and serving with them. And we would like to cover some, if not all, of the costs of the dinner. So we need like 4 turkeys and 1 ham, plus, of course, some money to cover the cost of the rest of the food that's going to be involved. There are other areas where you can serve. There are areas in that dinner, from preparing the food for that meal and also serving at the meal. There's also other places that you can serve having to do with Little Town Christmas. We need shepherds and wise men, actors who will walk around in costume for the event, and we need a number of people to run 1-hour shifts of like a hockey shootout. So please catch the vision for this event. Let's honor God by doing our best. Let's be great neighbors to the town of Chemainus this Christmas season. So Mary will be in the foyer after the service. She has specific time slots and roles still needed to be filled. So you